Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Tanya Carol Richardson as we talk about angels. Her book is called Angel Insights. And we'll be back in a moment with your stories and questions on Coast to Coast AM. And back with Tanya Carol Richardson. Tanya, in the movie, the incredible classic movie, It's a Wonderful Life, we hear a voice up in heaven talking to the angels, Clarence, and you heard the voice basically say, you got to go down and save George Bailey. And it was almost like an assignment. Who assigns these angels to us? How's that done?
I think who assigns the angels to us is that larger divinity that we call God, that force, that entity, that collective consciousness that assigns us that. And also that the angels are reminding me, they volunteer. You know, because when we think of an assignment, and I love the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. It's a very special movie.
Oh, me too.
I know. For many reasons, it's special to me, and it's a great film. See it if you haven't seen it. But, you know, when we think of an assignment, and as it's kind of said in that movie, it's done in a sense of, like, homework. Like, this is something you have to do. There's a heaviness to it. There's a duty to it, and maybe there's a sense that you don't want to do it. But with angels, they're really volunteering. Like I said in my readings, they're taking a number at that deli counter to be served. In other words, to come and serve humans. So oftentimes angels are volunteering, and they just told me that they're happy that they're picked, and they're hoping they're going to be picked for these assignments, you know. So it's like when a Broadway producer says, we're going to put you in the play. You're going to be the lead. They are just thrilled.
That movie came out, by the way, in 1946, and I remember years later, I must have been about 8 or 9, my mother sat me down to watch it with her, and I never forgot that movie ever since.
It's so special of your mom to do. The angels have just told me, and I just got chills. There's so many messages and lessons in that movie for us, and that's why that movie became so famous. If you know the story of the movie, no one expected it to do well. It didn't do well initially. It was considered a failure, but the angels are reminding me that when something has a strong message and lots of lessons and a higher enlightened resonance, it will find its way to people, and that movie sure did. It's one of the greatest classics of all time.
Yep, sure was. Sure was. Okay, let's go to the phones. They're lining up here for you. We'll go to Cheyenne, Wyoming to start. Aaron's with us on the wild card line. Hey, Aaron, thanks. Go ahead.
Hey, George, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I love your show. I just want to say I love your show.
Thank you.
Several apologies. I have a little bit of a stutter, so bear with me.
Okay, sure thing. Absolutely. Do the best you can.
I just have a quick story, and then I'll take my comments off the air or whatever.
Okay.
Just over a year ago, I had a dream, and I'm pretty sure it was from an angel. I had two friends, Ray and Brandon. They were both identical twins. And I had a dream that Brandon died and Ray was devastated. At the time of the dream, I didn't know that Brandon was doing hardcore drugs, Oxycontin, morphine.
Oh, jeez.
So I called Brandon up next night. I say, hey, Brandon, you want to hear something really messed up? I had a dream last night that you died and Ray was devastated. And he said, well, okay, Aaron, but thanks for checking up on me. And little did I know at the time that would be my last conversation with him. 10 days later, he ended up in a coma.
Oh.
And he was in the hospital for 3 days before we found out that he was no longer with us.
So. Oh, my gosh.
So I was just wondering about, like, an angel sent me that message to warn Brandon, hey, what you're doing.
Well, what that could have been, and Tanya will get your take on this too, is it could have been just a pure precognitive dream. The question is, where does he get the information from, Tanya? Do angels give it to you? Is that how it became precognitive?
That's a great question, and thank you so much for sharing this really personal, emotional story with us. And I think as George says, it can come from many places. It can come from your higher self. It can come from a spirit guide. It can come from God itself. These dreams, they can just be our own higher self intuition that is picking up on things with people that are very close to us. But they're telling me that in this case, it was a warning. And it was a message for your friend, and you were the conduit for that. And you did, you should know that you did everything correctly. And of course, if you had decided, oh, this was, you know, he was being given many messages, they're saying, from many people, even if you guys weren't aware of how much trouble he was in. So even if you had woken up and thought, oh my gosh, that was such a disturbing dream, I don't want to share that with him, I don't want to upset him, that's fine too. But it really was a warning. You did the right thing to share it with him. He got the message loud and clear. They just said he was getting messages like that from other people who may not have known how in trouble he was, but they were being sent messages that way as well. And he chose to ignore them. And that was his choice, and I think now he is in heaven, and they tell me that he really regrets that choice, and that he thinks, and the angels think you are a wonderful friend to call him and warn him that way. But that was definitely a warning sent to you, and you did a wonderful job of delivering that warning, and that's really all we can do with people.
Yeah, it was probably too late, but you're right. It was a warning, and it probably shocked the guy. Because he probably said, you know, how this guy dreamt that I was using drugs. How would he know this?
They're telling me he didn't want to hear it. You know, it was something he didn't want. Sometimes they're showing me we're headed for a brick wall, and we just don't want to believe it or see it. And as George said, with drug addicts, unfortunately, sometimes they're so far down the rabbit hole, it takes a lot to pull them back. And he was being sent these warnings, as angels do when they know that we're in real trouble and we know that something imminent is coming. If we don't change course, they will send us so many warnings. And sometimes people will choose to ignore them or just say, you know what, I don't care. I'm so far down the rabbit hole on this. I'm so depressed. I'm just going to keep going, and I don't care about the consequences. And it's unfortunate, but I think relaying those messages to people, we are the conduits for grace, they're reminding me, with our loved ones. And so many times, angels will use friends and family to deliver us messages. Sometimes a friend or family member will give you advice, and you'll get chills, or you think, wow, that time kind of stops, and you think, gosh, that's amazing advice. I really needed to hear that. That actually is an angel or a spirit guide or their higher self giving you a message that is a message of grace from spirit, just as you gave your friend.
Okay, we go next to Steve in the Bronx, east of the Rockies. Steven, you're up with us.
Hi, George. Good morning.
Morning, Steve.
Great listening to you every night. It makes my my night go by.
Well, thank
very,
you.
Very quickly.
Perfect.
So I have two quick stories. The first one is I'm a police officer in New York City.
Thank you for serving, by the way, Steve. Stay safe out there.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm trying.
Yeah.
About maybe 10 years ago, we get a call of a violent dispute of a female that was getting stabbed in the lobby of a building. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning. Sure enough, we get there, and she did have injuries. And someone in the hallway came out and said, he's lighting the apartment on fire. And sure enough, the boyfriend had went upstairs and lit the apartment on fire. We evacuated the building. We got enough cops there to get everybody out. And I never saw this person again. All the tenants, it was a small building, all the tenants were out on the street. And I never saw the person who came up to me again. And it didn't dawn on me till later that this person was in the lobby. How did they know that he was upstairs lighting the apartment on fire?
That's right.
So I just thought that was definitely divine intervention there. And the second quick story is, when my grandfather passed away, we brought my daughter, that at the time was like 3 years old, to the wake. And when we brought her up to pay her respects to my grandfather, she turned to my grandmother and said, oh, all the angels are sitting around Papa. And I just, you know, we were all a little bit dumbfounded for her to say that at the funeral parlor. So yeah, that's my story.
I love them. I love them. Okay, and again, be safe out there, and thanks, Steve, for serving law enforcement. Very important these days, Tanya. They need angels with them all the time, don't they?
Yes, they certainly do, and they have them. You know, anyone people who are working in emergency room, people who are law enforcement, people who are first responders, these people who put their lives on the line for us, firemen. I was watching a fireman suit up the other day in New York City, and you could smell gas everywhere, and he was just calmly suiting up to go put his life on the line for us. These people have, they are our guardians, the angels are reminding us, and they have special, special guardians who are there just to help them specifically with their very large duties and all that that entails. And that's who that angel was that appeared in the lobby. And there, it was such a wonderful story he told, and I got chills when he was telling me that, when he was sharing that with us. And the angels told me they want it to be used as a reminder that they do what they can. They really do with whatever there is within their ability to help us. And the best they could do in that situation was have one of those guardian angels that watches over people in law enforcement appear in the lobby and say, hey, we can't save this woman who just died, but we can save a lot more people by telling you there's about to be a fire here.
Can the individual get along with their guardian angel, or do they sometimes fight?
No, they don't fight. The angels tell me, someone asked me recently, are angels ever disappointed with us? And the angels are not disappointed with us. They do get frustrated sometimes. As the gentleman who called before and said he gave the warning to his friend who was unfortunately wrapped up in drugs, his guardian angels were very frustrated and upset that he didn't heed that warning. But it's never that they are angry at us, or they are fighting us, or we're all on the same mission together. It's just that sometimes the angels just wish that they would listen to our guidance a little bit more, because it makes the journey smoother. We're all traveling on this ocean, and sometimes when there's a storm coming up ahead, the angel is your navigator, and they say, hey, we need to turn this way, we need to batten down the hatches, and they just wish that we would listen to them, because it makes our journey easier.
Okay, now we go to Mike in Las Vegas. Hi, Mike, go ahead. Welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. I just had a quick story and question.
Sure.
I heard that when an angel tries to talk to you, your ear gets hot.
Now, is that true, Tanya?
Yes, that is very true. That doesn't always happen. My ears aren't always burning. That doesn't always happen. But yes, that sometimes even happens to me. It can be a common reaction when you are interacting with an angelic spirit or some other divine entity like an ascended master, that you will have warm sensations sometimes around your ear or your neck, your shoulders and chest. That doesn't always happen, but yes, that is something that can occur.
Okay, great. Yeah. And what's your story, Mike?
I had something like that happen to me. I guess it had to be about 8 years ago already, and I was at work by myself simply walking. It was at a Best Buy. And my right ear got so hot, it was so abnormal, I stopped, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And since that experience, I can say I've definitely started down a spiritual path, of course, found coast to coast in the process. And when I hear certain things, almost like things that can't be proven, spiritual truths, if you want to call them that, I get goosebumps from my scalp to my calf, but only on the right side of my body. It's really strange. And I want to ask if you know my angel's name, because when those things happen, I hear the name Bartholomew a lot.
Oh, that's wonderful. They just told me that a guardian angel's name, one of your guardian angels, they said it very strongly, is Luke. But you do have more than one angel, so Bartholomew, Luke, they're telling me you also have a lot of helper angels around you right now. They help you with your job and your relationships. But I think you brought up so many wonderful points with your story. When you said you had the ear that got so hot, you know, we all often wonder, how do I know it was an angel contacting me, or how do I know this was an angelic experience? It's because it resonates with you. You said something very telling. You said, I never forgot that experience. That's how you know that something is a divine connection that you're experiencing, because it's something that is so powerful to you, you never forget. It resonates very deeply. And you explain some wonderful clairsentient experiences that you have when something is being told to you that you get chills. Say you hear something on George's show and it gets chills and it resonates very deeply. That's your intuition saying, yes, this is correct. or yes, this is important for you to know. Pay attention to this information. It has something to do with you, or you could use this information, or just this information really feels true to you. So getting those chills and those goosebumps is a wonderful way to know, hey, pay attention. This is something that's really resonating with me, and this is probably something I need to pay attention to and think about.
Will there ever be a time that angels turn their backs on us?
Never, 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 never.
That doesn't happen.
They said that we don't turn our wings on anyone. Huh. And they are saying that includes everyone. And they're giving me an image of someone in prison, say someone that has done something that we consider so horrible or reprehensible. They're right there in those prison cells with those people holding their hands. They turn their back on no one. They are equal opportunity employers. You can walk in with no shoes, no service, they used to say. They would never turn anyone away. That's the opposite. That's the complete opposite of an angel's energy.
Do they have tempers or emotion?
Yes, they have very deep emotion. In fact, angels, humans are all differently wired emotionally, as you know. And some people are very, very sensitive emotionally, and things touch them very deeply, and some people just aren't wired that way. Angels are incredibly sensitive emotionally, almost like the skin of a grape. They feel things very, very deeply, and they actually take on some of the emotions that we feel when we're grieving or we're going through something where we're terrified. They will take on some of that emotion for us. Even though they feel things very deeply and it can be harrowing for them, they help us with that. The angels are, they're just reminding me, highly, highly emotional creatures. But they don't, again, when we talk about angels getting angry at us, they tell me a better way to describe it is frustration.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Where do we get your book, Angel Insights?
Yeah, Angel Insights is on Amazon, and you can get it from Amazon. You can get it on barnesandnoble.com. You can get it at, you can go to your local Barnes & Noble store and see if they've got it in stock. You can also get it from my publisher's website, Llewellyn, a great mind, body, spirit publisher. You can go directly to their website at llewellyn.com and buy it.
Robert in Chicago. Go for it, Robert.
Hi, George. Thank you so much.
Sure thing.
I just don't understand. I know you spoke about this before. These infants that are murdered or that die after they're born. My son died right after he was born. Or these infants that are, the parents leave them in a hot car and they die.
Yeah.
Where are their angels? And what happens to these babies when they get to heaven? Do they meet their parents? How does that work? Are they grown?
Wow, these are wonderful questions. First of all, I'm very, very sorry for your loss. And I think you still have a lot of anger and frustration over that loss. And I think that's normal. And I don't think that ever leaves us. And I encourage people even to get angry at spirit. You know, spirit can take it. It's kind of like you see in images sometimes in movies where someone will be grieving, they'll be so angry, and they're just kind of hitting a pillow or hitting someone's chest, and the other person's just holding them and letting them get it out. And you can get angry at God, you can question God, you can question the angels and say, where were you? Why was I put through this? Why was my child taken? And I think their angels are telling me that in this dimension, it's not an easy answer. You won't ever have all the answers to that question.
Hold on, Tanya. Well, I'll let you finish that up, and we'll take final calls in a moment. Welcome back. Tanya Carol Richardson with us. Angel Insights. That's what we're talking about, and we'll get to your calls and your stories as well. Lots of great stories coming out here tonight, Tanya.
Yes, and I just wanted to finish with the gentleman
yeah.
who was brave enough to share that very sensitive story of losing his
little
infant,
baby.
His child. Yeah. And the angels told me that that child will meet him in heaven as a fully formed adult, that because that's a soul that already is fully formed, really, and that soul is very wise, very compassionate, and is really looking forward to meeting that gentleman when it's his time. And the angels told me that all will be explained and understood then. But that soul that was and still is that gentleman's child is really special and wonderful, and is a very intelligent, unique, dynamic soul, and is going to present himself to this gentleman as a fully formed young adult when they meet in heaven, and that will be a very special, healing, and enlightening meeting.
Oh,
for
that
him.
Sure is. It sure is. Tell me about ghost-busting angels. What are they?
The ghost-busting angels are angels I call in. We talked earlier in the show about clients who might call and say, you know, I'm afraid I've got kind of a poltergeist here in the house. And the ghost-busting angels showed themselves to me just like the Ghostbusters from the original 80s movie, if you remember their clothes and their equipment.
Yep.
And they showed themselves visually to me that way. But the difference between the ghost-busting angels in the world of spirit is we don't view angels as we do in the movie, ghosts as we do in the movie, that they're these evil entities out to get us. The ghost-busting angels explained to me very clearly in the beginning that that ghosts are confused, they need our help, and even though they can be mischievous and cause trouble, it's really just because they're confused or maybe angry that they're lost or angry about what happened to them in life. And so you always treat the situation with love, and part of what you do is call in the ghost-busting angels, which are a special group of helper angels, and they will help gain the ghost's trust, because these spirits can be very mistrustful of people because of what happened to them in their life, or because they're kind of stuck, they've chosen not to go into the light, so they're kind of stuck. So the angels will win over their confidence, will calm them down, soothe them, and will help take them into the light so that they can go home and you can have their house back and they can go home to heaven and be more at peace.
That's a way to do it. Let's go to the final calls. Jody in Salt Lake City, Utah, west of the Rockies. Hi, Jody. Jody, are you with us?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Jody.
It's not Jody, it's Julia.
It's whatever I say it is. No, okay.
Okay, I'll go with you.
Tommy, change that, please, please.
Okay, I'll let you. I have, my grandmother told me that I was very, very blessed as a child to have the angels that guarded me. I had four little angels that began with me at birth and they grew up with me. And sometimes I don't feel like it because the kind of life that was I was made to have, not what God wanted, but wouldn't that be in the promises of God that our lives will be like, and I go through the book of Job, and I think, okay, he had problems, I have problems. And my God, little angels have always been there. And my grandmother knew it. She could see him. I could see him.
You could see them. That's important. She's a little muddy, Tanya, but I want you to react to this. She can see angels.
Yes, and that happens with people. I think many listeners, and George, I know you're familiar with Lorna Byrne. She came out with a book earlier in the 2000s admitting that she had been able to see angels her whole life.
Yeah.
And she was scared to share that information, obviously, because she was afraid people would think that she was just mentally ill and that these were hallucinations, but they actually weren't. And she was chosen to be a witness, the angels told me. The word they use with Lorna is witness. And she was chosen to be able to witness these things and share them with us so that we could know that they were real. And everyone experiences angels differently, and some people really do see them often. And also, I have had clients who tell me that they see ghosts. And it can be a very, it's a gift, it's a psychic gift, but it can also be very unsettling for people. And so it's important, I think, if you're seeing that kind of stuff, that you work with somebody knowledgeable and read books and try and understand that and learn how to control it and set boundaries around it, because it's a wonderful thing, but it can also be a little unsettling if it's happening when you don't want it to happen or it's interrupting your normal life.
I'm going to assume something. Tell me how accurate I am. And that is, one, whenever you need an angel for something specific for yourself, you're supposed to call them up, I guess, by prayer or whatever. But if there's a tragedy or an accident about to occur, or maybe you're going to go over that cliff like that truck driver story I related, the angels step in on their own. Is that pretty accurate?
That's completely accurate, George. And they actually just gave me a little bit of a metaphor to help with that. It's like you said, when you're in trouble, when there's a major crossroads you're coming, when there's a person you need to meet or a job you need to have or something that's a really big moment on your timeline as a human, those angels will be there whether you call them in or not to help make that moment happen and help facilitate things. However, for a lot of the other smaller moments, we should use our free will to call them in. And the way the angels just explained that to me is it's like when you go to a restaurant and you order dinner and you get the entree. But maybe you look at it and you think, I really want some gravy with this. What would really take this, you know, dish to the next level would be some more gravy or some more coconut curry. So you call the waiter over and ask for it, and maybe you want a drink with your meal. So that's how you exercise your free will. The meat and potatoes will be given to you, but, you know, if you want all those condiments and you want to take your journey kind of the next level and make it easier and more fun, call in those angels every day.
Well, and they'll be there for you, won't they?
They will, and you don't have to get neurotic about calling them in. You know, I think one thing I teach people to do in the book Angel Insights is just develop a closer relationship with the angels, so it becomes more natural for you to ask for their help and talk with them and communicate with them. But it's not something you have to worry about. Gosh, do I need to do a physical prayer every time before I need something or want an angel's help? You don't have to get neurotic about it. But I think once you develop a closer relationship with them and start thinking about angels more, you'll just naturally interact with them more, and they'll naturally interact with you more.
All right, back to final calls we go to. Whose turn is it? It's Carl in Milwaukee. Hi, Carl. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Morning to you, sir.
Earlier this summer, I was going for a hike, and in my neighborhood, George, there's a beautiful park, and I have to cross a four-lane highway, and there's a crosswalk with a stop sign, and so and it was rush hour where the traffic is busy, and it's like 40 miles an hour is a speed limit, and right in front of me while I was waiting to cross, there was a car accident. I mean, like 10 feet away, and not like a loss of life, somebody going through a windshield. But, you know, airbag deployment, the cars are going to have to be towed. And right in front of me, in one of the cars, was an elderly woman by herself. And it was right in front of me, Tanya and George, and I walked over, and I opened up her door, and she was crying and shaking. And I kind of knelt down. I took her out, held her hands, and she was sobbing. And I said, "It's going to be all right. Help is on the way." And we talked for 3 or 4 minutes, and then the paramedics were there. And the paramedic came and kind of tapped me on my shoulder, and I stood up. And she looked at me, and she said, "Are you my guardian angel?" And, you know, I stepped away, and the police came on the scene. And this happened right in front of me. I saw it happen. And the policeman said, "You know, can you tell me he had his little notebook out?" And you know, tell me what happened. And honest to God, in that moment, that I looked at him and I couldn't tell the policeman what happened. And it was when she looked at me and said, "Are you my guardian angel?" And she looked at, and she smiled at me. And like time stopped for a second. And when I was sitting there with the cop and I looked at her, I couldn't tell him. It happened 3 minutes ago. I saw it. I couldn't tell him which car was going what way. And I thought to myself that every once in a while you get tapped on the shoulder. And I thought in that moment I was her guardian angel.
Yeah, that is such a powerful story. And you hit the nail on the head, the angels told me. You were chosen, they told me while you were telling the story, to be in the right place at the right time. It was no coincidence that you were there. They also wanted me to tell you, be careful at that intersection. You know, they know that you love nature and it's wonderful to walk there, but just always be mindful as you are, but just really be mindful at that intersection because it is, you know, it's dangerous with the cars going that fast. And I'm sure you're going to be fine, but they just said anybody around that intersection crossing there should be mindful. But you were put in that place for a reason. And you said something very interesting. I think, first of all, yes, we can be, we're human angels to people. Lots of times we act angelically and become a human angel for someone else. And I discussed that in the book. So sometimes it's an interaction with an angel. Sometimes it's a human angel. But you were definitely tapped on the shoulder. And when you said time stopped, that's often what happens when we're experiencing a divine a divine moment of grace. Time will seem to slow down, like in the movies where all of a sudden it's like wah wah, you hear this kind of strange sound effect and things seem unreal for a moment. It's because the divine was working through you, and you were absolutely put there at that time. It was no coincidence. That was meant to happen, and that's why that has such a strong resonance for you. And whenever you have that strong resonance and that feeling, you should always trust it. So you were definitely put there by real angels to be an angel for her. So good job. You took your assignment and ran with it.
Do the angels see anything like another war or anything like that?
They just said there's more trouble coming. And what they mean by that is that we are far from done with the huge, huge, massive changes that are happening in our planet right now, in our cultures and our level of enlightenment. And they just showed me, you know how they always show you, tell you in school how the plates shift with the Earth over time and how the continents changed? That's what's happening energetically right now. And it's also what they just said is happening in our consciousness. So there's a lot of major, massive change going on in the planet right now. It's all good. It's leading us to a good place. But they just said this can be messy. It's like when you're making a big meal, you're cleaning out a closet, things get messy. So don't go into it with fear. Go into it with hope and excitement. It's an adventure. It's like being on a roller coaster ride. But yeah, we're just starting with the big changes. And, you know, things will calm down. There's always going to be moments of calm and things kind of surge up again, but we're definitely in the middle of a big change, and I think most people can feel that.
I think so too. There's no question about it. Let's go next to Lee in Minnesota. Hi, Lee. Thank you for calling. Good morning.
Hi, George. How are you doing? Hi, Tanya.
Good.
Hi.
Hi. Remember how last time I told you I took photographs of two angels?
Yes.
I had another experience while I was staying in Annandale for a little bit.
All right. What happened?
I was reading the Bible, and I asked God for a sign. And that night I had a dream. There were angels. There was a lot of them, and they were singing. And it was kind of like the same thing as the angel telepathically saying, ask your father. I could hear the angel singing the same way, kind of without any sound, but you could still hear it. And it was shown. I was shown a part of heaven, and Jesus was there too. And he said, Lee, I'm going to return.
Huh.
Lovely.
When is the return?
I'm not sure. Basically, it states in the Bible, even he doesn't know, only the Father does.
I would love to get that date.
Right. I want to be there in black tie for that event.
Lee, thank you. Appreciate that. Holly is in West Virginia. Hello, Holly. Let's get you in here. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi. I can't believe I got through. My heart is pounding. I'd sort of like to know about my twins who died right after they were born when I was a young woman. Really affected, has ramifications for my whole life. Who talked about his baby dying prompted me to call in.
How long ago did this happen for you, Holly?
Well, I was like 27 and now I'm 63.
Oh, okay. So
it's really changed my whole life. It's been very difficult.
What can you tell her, Tanya?
Well, I can tell you that the twins are still with you, and that connection is still very strong. That's why it's still so upsetting for you. They're showing me an energetical umbilical cord that's still connected to those twins. So they really are acting as your spirit guides in heaven, and I know that they were taken from you in physical form, but they've always been with you, and they've always watched out for you, and you still have a very strong connection to them, and they have a strong connection to you. And that energetic umbilical cord goes right to your heart. That's why you can feel it so strongly. But they want you to know that they're not gone, and the separation is not permanent. It's a temporary physical separation, and you will see them again. And it just absolutely broke your heart when this happened. And I know that you've recovered to a degree, but sometimes those heartbreaks never totally heal up. And part of the reason is because they have such a still very, very strong connection to you. They're saying that we have never left you.
I blamed myself when they died.
Well, don't blame yourself.
Oh, goodness, no. They just said very clearly, these things are out of your control. They are out of your control. You did nothing wrong. And also sometimes things happen and we can never fully understand why they happened or all the reasons behind them. But you will see these children again and you will have many more adventures with them. And this story is just beginning for you with these souls. And they've never left you. And they've been, every time that you have been grieving over this or been questioning or wondering, they have been sending you love and support to let you know that they just said blameless. You are blameless. There are many things that are out of our control. And it's hard with mothers because we so want to desperately protect and guide. But they just told me that they're protecting and guiding you now. So they have taken over the mothering role for you. They're actually protecting and guiding you from heaven.
Angels also, you know, we talked about emotion. I bet when they get involved in situations like this, they do everything they can to try to, you know, emotionally help somebody.
Oh, yes, of course. And that's one of the angels' main one of their many roles, but one of their main core roles is to emotionally support us. And they can do that in many ways, and one of the ways is to help us process our emotions. And sometimes you can even, if you're having an emotion such as an intense grief like this that you know, just sits with you and it will not leave, you can always say to an angel, can you take this from me for a little while so I can just have a break from this and I can feel joy in life again. And also the angels always remind me, and I'm very big on telling clients this, work with therapists. You know, therapists are human angels and professional counselors that can really help you process these difficult emotions and these tragic life events. It's very important to work with professionals.
Tanya, thank you for being on the show. Appreciate
it. Thank you. I had a wonderful time.
Me too. Angels. Angel Insights. That's the name of the book. By the way, millions evacuating as Hurricane Matthew heading towards Florida. Let's say a little prayer for them, folks. We'll talk about that tomorrow. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.